Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Welcome back to another edition of the NFL Draft Bible Show. I'm your show host, Beau Marchand. Today we're joined with a very special guest. He's the executive director of the BCS Championship Series. His name is Bill Hancock. And Bill, I believe you are a glutton for punishment. I mean, you rode your bike across the United States. Now you're the BCS director. And I have to ask you, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, glutton for punishment with that job. I mean, is it bad as it seems?
Oh, my goodness, no. Oh, it's not. I'm really lucky. I get to live college football 24/7. And as you know, and we'll probably talk about later, I was director of the NCAA Final Four before I took this position. And so I got to direct the best event in college basketball, and now I get to direct the best event in college football.
And
you know, we do have our critics, and I enjoy engaging with them and explaining to them what we're all about and then why the BCS has been good for the game.
Yeah, and I was doing some research before we went on, you know, today, and I believe prior to 1998 when the BCS came into effect, I think prior to that, the 56 years previous, I think there was only 8 meetings between the number 1 and number 2 teams. Now, since the BCS has come into play, I believe the number 1 and 2 teams have met the last 12 years. So, I mean, I think that's a really big bonus. I mean, talk about the positives. I mean, there's so many negatives put on the BCS. I mean, tell the listeners out there, because, Bill, I'm not going to lie, when I said that, hey, Bill Hancock, the director of the BCS, is coming on the show, a lot of people had a lot of questions they wanted me to ask you. So, I mean, tell the people out there, I mean, what are the positives and what are we missing? What's America, the football-starved America, what are they missing that's positive about the BCS?
The best things about the BCS can be, I can sum them up in just three things. First of all, it does allow us to match number 1 and number 2 in a bowl game. And secondly, it preserves the most compelling regular season of any sport. And thirdly, it also preserves the bowl system, which provides a reward for this year 70 groups of young people. And those three things, it's just pretty hard to argue against those three things. Match 1 and 2, preserve the regular season, and preserve the bowl system. And that's what we're about.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the Big Ten's going to be going to 12 teams next year with the addition of Nebraska. Obviously, they're going to have a conference title game as well. I mean, it seems like the landscape of college football is changing, and I think we'll see conference title games in all the BCS conferences. Will that have any effect on how you guys and, you know, the BCS and the format?
I don't think it will, Beau. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? The Big 12 is moving away from its title game after this year. The coaches don't like it, and yet then we have the Big 10 and the Pac-10 that are moving toward championship games. But those championship games become, you know, almost a semifinal in some cases to determine who plays in the BCS championship game. You have to say almost a semifinal, of course, because it's not always the case. But there's a lot of excitement around those games, and the conferences are going to do what's best for them. You know, what happened in the Big 12 was some of the coaches, well, obviously they fell below the 12 teams, which is mandated by the NCAA to have a playoff. But the coaches in the Big 12 have not been supportive of the game, and obviously the issue is concern that a 12-0 Texas team would go against an 8-4 Colorado team in the championship game and lose and then maybe be denied of a chance to play in the BCS. So there's two sides to the championship game question.
Yeah, and that's a great point, too. I mean, in that same scenario, I mean, it doesn't seem fair that a 12-0 team would be, you know, penalized, you know, to play that extra game when there's other BCS conference, you know, teams that don't have to. It's almost like a free ticket when, you know, the other team has to go that extra mile. I mean, and, you know, there's a lot of talk, too, I mean, about, you know, maybe, you know, years down the road there being just, you know, very few select giant mega conferences. I mean, do you see that happening with college football?
I don't. I'm against the grain on this. I think many people do, but I don't. I think a conference any larger than 12 is pretty difficult to administer. It's hard to schedule. Schools don't see each other every year. it doesn't feel as much like a family. And I think the presidents and commissioners are beginning to see that. And so I'll be surprised if that happens.
Now, Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, Josh Peter, Jeff Passons, they have a book coming out, Death to the BCS, The Definitive Case Against the Bowl Championship Series. I know later when the book actually comes out, we're going to have Dan on the show as well. I mean, when these books, I mean, even President Obama last year on Monday Night Football brought up, you know, a playoff series. I mean, this constant, do you guys think you're ever going to get past that? And are there any tweaks in the system that you think may, you know, satisfy the people out there that aren't satisfied?
You know, we've made tweaks through the years to allow more access and to change the formula. And I think the BCS is better because of it. Yeah. It's kind of interesting that in the first 5 or 6 years of the BCS, the commissioners made changes in the formula every year trying to make it better. And I think that backfired in one way, and that it led the public not to understand it. Well, in the last 6 years, the formula's been basically the same. So folks are now understanding how it works, and I think more people are buying into the system as it is. You know, I heard the president's remarks, of course, and he really never said that after the inauguration. it was all beforehand, and I think he realized that he has better things, more important things to worry about, which certainly he does. Heaven forbid, this is only sports. And I feel the same way about Congress. You know, we have congressmen from time to time that say they would like a playoff or like to make changes. But I think 99% of the folks in Washington do realize that they have more important things on their plate.
No, definitely. Once again, Bill Hancock, the executive director of the BCS, joining us here on the All Access NFL Draft Bible Show. I'm your show host, Bo Marchant. You know, when I look at it, the strength of schedule or the undefeated season, my own personal take is, you know, I put more stock into the strength of the schedule. You know, I do believe a team like Florida happened to play Alabama, the SEC teams, compared to a Boise State, a Utah, and the WAC and whatnot. I mean, when your own personal takes, I mean, do you have an opinion on the undefeated or the strength of schedule?
Schedule is important in this, and obviously you can't take a 12-0 team without knowing who they played. And I don't mean that to talk about anybody in particular, but well, looking back to my basketball days, you could have a 25-2 team and another 25-2 team, and yet you knew one was better than the other one because of who they played during the regular season. And I think that plays out in football. On the other hand, there's lots of good teams around the country, and certainly at this point, here we are late September, we've only played three games. There's much more ball to be played. But I think in the long run, strength of schedule should play an important part, and it does. You know, there's three components to the BCS standings. Two are human polls, the Harris poll and the coaches poll, and the third is an average of six computer ratings. It's pretty simple. Those three are averaged together to come up with the BCS standings. And all three incorporate strength of schedule. Each computer poll uses it. And I know that all of those, let me think, 160-some voters, I know all of them are looking at who folks have played. So it's in there. It's not in there as strongly as some people would like it to be. And it's probably in there more strongly than others would like it. And I guess that's how it goes. You can please some of the people, but you can't please everyone.
Nice. Looking at this college season, I mean, obviously there's a lot of excitement. Michigan's 3-0. Denard Robinson setting the college football world on fire. I mean, is there anything that you've kind of taken notice of this season as you're just watching the games?
Well, clearly Denard Robinson is a special talent. Luck at Stanford, what a player. My goodness. And, of course, you know his dad is the athletic director at the University of Virginia and had a wonderful NFL career himself. There's some remarkable young talent, people that we're going to get to see for two or three more years in college football. And, you know, every weekend has just been sensational so far. And I think that'll continue all during the season.
Nice. And, I mean, you getting to travel, I mean, and see a lot of these games, I mean, what's one place that you really just enjoy, you know, a favorite place to watch a college football game, just the atmosphere and everything that's surrounding it?
Oh, boy, there's so many of them, Bo. I would say Lincoln, Nebraska is special. Nebraska fan show to the other teams is just remarkable. Tuscaloosa, if anyone in college football has not been to Tuscaloosa, they need to make that trip. Beautiful campus, beautiful stadium, knowledgeable fans, great atmosphere. Penn State, oh my goodness, what a spot. Oklahoma, they do a terrific job at Oklahoma, great traditions there. Texas, you know, a group that I really like too is the group at Arizona, the University of Arizona. What enthusiasm and a great student support.
Nice.
I think I gave you more than one, Bo. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, with you being in the position that you are, and then, I mean, you know, doing the NCAA basketball tournament for 13 years, I mean, you've seen plenty of college campuses, so I'm sure it's really hard just to pick one. I mean, I wouldn't have actually thought you would have gave one distinctively. I think it's just too many to choose from with so many great schools out there. And, I mean, for you, I mean, what's the busiest time? I mean, obviously, you know, the season's underway. I mean, take the people out there listening. I mean, you know, Bill Hancock, executive director of the BCS, from now till January, I mean, what's the process and what are you, doing on a daily basis?
Well, we administer a contract, a television contract, and as well as a contract with all the bowl games. So we spend a lot of time on the details of managing the games. I do get to spend a fair amount of time discussing the system like you and I are doing today, and I enjoy every bit of that. Starting when the standings come out, and that this year will be October 17th, we get a lot of questions about how all that works, and I do a fair amount of writing to explain to people what it's all about. There's budgeting, there's drudgery of things like ticketing and insurance, and, you know, it's not all going to ball games. A lot of behind-the-scenes work that we all have to do in sports to make it all happen. You know, in some ways, I feel like almost like a resort owner, that I manage the resort so that all the fans can enjoy it.
Nice. I enjoy that. Now, this is a personal question I'm curious about, because I was down there and at the Cotton Bowl last year, and it seems like they're really trying to swing it to get in, you know, maybe get a part of that BCS, you know, title, you know, involved in the Cotton Bowl. Is there any shot of that happening? Do you see anything like that down the road?
The BCS is committed for the next 4 years, so this season and three more, to the way it is, with the double hosting and, you know, four bowls part of it and one of them hosting a championship game every year. After that is anyone's guess, but I feel that the commissioners, the conference commissioners, the 11 of them, when they're managing the BCS, and they are looking back and saying, you know what, things are going pretty well. They're happy with the way it's working now. And so I guess I'd be surprised if a change happens just because things are working so well right now. On the other hand, you know, it's sports, and anything can happen. And gosh, the Cotton Bowl people do such a great job, Rick Baker and the committee. They're wonderful hosts, and the teams that get to play there just come away every year just ecstatic about their experiences. And golly, what else can you say about the stadium?
Yeah.
It's a palace. And it just makes me wonder, what are stadiums going to be like as they continue to evolve in the next 10 and 20 years? I can't imagine.
Right. Once again, Bill Hancock, the executive director of the BCS, joining us here on the All Access Football Show. I'm your show host, Beau Marchant. Bill, I wanted to switch gears a little bit on the personal side of things. I mean, I know you're an avid outdoorsman. You've run 15 marathons. I'm a runner myself, but you biking across the United States, and then you did a memoir of it called a book, Riding with the Blue Moth. Can you take us into that and talk a little bit about, you know, what inspired you to ride across the United States and maybe a fun story about the ride and then what brought the book on?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. That's my passion, Bo, like it is yours, running. And for me, as I got a little older, my knees began to bother me, and I took up biking, and I'm still biking and running. And I had dreamed of riding my bicycle across the country and had plans to do so and was going to go part of the way with my son. And then almost 10 years ago, unfortunately, our son was killed in a plane crash. He was the SID at Oklahoma State, and their team was returning from a game in Colorado, and unfortunately their plane crashed, and there were no survivors, and it changed my life completely. I became much more introspective. Things that used to bother me didn't bother me anymore. I became much more of a person who could cherish every moment. And after you kind of wander around like a zombie for a while in grief after something like that, and your mind begins to clear, you begin to look for some way to get back to normal. Well, normal for me had been running and riding my bike, and so I returned to my dream of riding across the country, and made the trip in July and August one year. 36 days, I rode from Huntington Beach, California to Tybee Island, Georgia. And yes, it was hot. It was 111 the day I passed through Palm Springs, but it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat. And I took a journal, made a journal all along the way to let my two daughters-in-law and our other son know how I was doing, and emailed it to them, and as things happened, they began to share it with their friends, who began to share it with other friends, and before too long, it came to the attention of a book publisher who said, "Bill, you should write a book about this, about grief and about your journey across the country." And so the book came about, and we sold about 20,000 copies. It's still available online in different places, and it also contributed to changing my life, because I began to hear from people who said, "Mr. Hancock, I'm in a grief situation, and your book has given me hope." And my goodness, I'm just a regular guy and without any training in that kind of thing, but those messages were very moving to me. So I do a lot of speaking and meeting with groups, grief support groups, and hopefully have been able to help some people. And so that all makes the BCS position, you know, something special for me, that maybe I can make a difference in explaining college football in the same way that I've made a difference, although a much lesser important matter, in the same way that I have helped people deal with their grief situations. And those of us in our community of grief know that every time someone else comes over, crosses the fence, as I call it, into our world, it's a terrible thing for them, and they need all of us to reach out and help them as much as we can. So that's a big part of my life these days, in addition to college football. As for the bike ride, I encountered lots of people along the way, and I didn't tell anyone what I did for a living at the time I was director of the Final Four, until I got to a little bait shop down in southeastern Oklahoma, and the guy asked me, and I said, "Well, you're not going to believe what I do." He said, "Will you try me?" So I said, "Okay, I'm director of the Final Four." Well, he went crazy. He said, "You've got to be kidding me. The director of the Final Four is here in Joe's bait shop talking to me?" And it was really fun to talk to him. And then he began to lecture me about selection of teams and the weighting that he thought the committee gave unfairly to Duke and North Carolina. So I thought, man, I can never escape this. And that's kind of the way it is in football. And then after the book came out, I did some book signings. And at one signing, a lady stood in line for a long time, little old lady. And she got to the front and she said, "Bill, do you know who I am?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't." And it was my senior English teacher from high school.
Huh.
And she said, "Bill, I never thought you'd amount to anything."
Well, director of the NCAA Final Four, BCS director. I know you spent time with the Olympic Committee, also serving in some capacity with that as well. So, I mean, definitely enough accolades and an exceptional track record of success that followed you.
Yeah, I really enjoy different things. I think you have your vocation, but then you better have an avocation as well. And I've had several of them, from writing to being lucky enough to work for the U.S. Olympic Committee at 9 games, and I anticipate being in London. That'll be my 10th. And I just think if you keep yourself going with your work, but most importantly with what surrounds your work, your family, your friends, your faith, and your fun. And I believe that's my credo, and it's worked well for me.
Excellent. Bill Hancock, the executive director of the BCS, joining us here on the All Access Football Show. Bill, three quick questions just for fun before we let you go. And, like, again, we appreciate you coming on. We hope to talk with you later. But the three quick questions is, what was the best BCS team that you've seen since the 1988, since this has started?
Oh, my goodness, that's a very good question. I can tell you who the best player was, Vince Young. I can tell you what the best game was, Vince Young.
Okay. And the second question, this is a more personal note. What was the favorite of the 15th marathons you've run? What was the favorite run?
You know, my favorite was Boston, just because of the accomplishment of qualifying for Boston. I ran very poorly there. It was 3 weeks after the NCAA tournament, and I really didn't have much time to train. But I felt like I was Ray Kinsella from the movie. I kept saying, not I am pitching to Shoeless Joe Jackson, but I am actually running the Boston Marathon. I love Boston. Ran New York twice. Also really enjoyed it. But there's just something magic about Boston.
Nice. And the final question, we're only 3 weeks in, but who's your Heisman favorite right now?
Oh, I can list about eight of them. I really don't know. Wasn't it amazing, Mark Ingram's the great game he had in his return?
Yeah.
You know, Robinson, I mean, you could just go down the list. It's really going to be fun to watch that get sorted out during the season. I hate to dodge the question, but I really don't have a favorite.
Nice. I know it. I know you want to dodge it because you're too good of a guy to just dodge it. I know you give me. I know you want to dodge it, Bill. Again, we appreciate you coming on the show. We wish you the best, and like I said, we'd love to touch base with you further down the road.
Great, Bo. Thank you so much, and good luck in your running, and keep informing people about the NFL draft. I love what you do.
Thank you so much. That's Bill Hancock, the executive director of the BCS. He joined us today on the NFL Draft Bible All Access Football Show. I'm your show host, Bo Marchand. As always, thanks for taking some time out of your busy day, and look forward to some great college football this weekend.